I invite you to turn your Bibles, we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, as we look about the Lord's ministers and his design and call. Here we have Brother Paul writing to Brother Timothy, a young pastor, preacher, seemingly of the Church of Ephesus. We're going to run into some hints of that here before it's all said and done, that maybe will show us some things there regarding that. But here in our last time, the Brother Paul, in this chapter 3, he concentrated on those who are against the Lord, those who are reprobate concerning the faith, even that bad. And he directed Brother Timothy in verse number 14 of chapter 3 to continue in some things, to continue in the Word of God, to continue in what God has breathed, what He's spoken, what He's given to us in the Scripture. We come down to chapter 4 and he charges him in that the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And therefore, Timothy, in verse number 2 of chapter 4, preach the Word. Preach the Word of God. Don't preach opinion. Don't preach philosophy. Preach what God says. And so we left off last time in verses 3 and 4 where he says the time is going to come that sound doctrine will not be endured. And we can see that across the land of our own country. We can see that in England, say. And that's the way it is as far as the United States. I think it's a true statement. Anywhere between 30 to 50 years behind England, that's where the United States is as far as departing from God, departing from the Lord and the way of the Lord. It used to be there in that country, there in England, that the Word of God was prolific and there was obedience to it and the Lord's churches in that. And now they can hardly be found. Same thing's happening to our country. It says in verse number 4 of chapter 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And so we see that. We've talked about that in times past on Wednesday night about the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us, and are we like those that pull away the shoulder, turn away the head? God is speaking. Are we pulling away from the Lord and not listening? You'll see a child maybe do that. When their parents would look to get on them or control them, or they've been disobedient or whatever, and they pull away the shoulder. We don't need to be like that unto our Lord. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we took a look at all the references regarding this fables, corrosive words, cankerous words, words to no profit and such as that, vain babblings and such. He comes back to the brother and he says in verse number 5 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse number 5, but watch thou in all things. This word watch is speaking about soberness, to have understanding about what the truth is, what's going on. And the only way we can do and have that reasoning is by the Word of God. We might look on current events in our world. We might look on things going on in our country. We would look on at things going on in our county, in our town, in our own families, in our own lives, watching. He says, watch, have a sober outlook. Watch by having the standard at hand in ourselves, the Word of God, what God has said about life and living. But watch thou in all things. He says, endure afflictions because they're going to come. I appreciate Brother Stephen and taking on the book of Job, and it'll be interesting. You pray for him regarding those studies and for us that we might receive those things. And Lord, give us understanding about what's there for us. I mean, the Lord has given us the book of Job. There are going to be afflictions. And as a brother pointed out this morning, our Lord is not ignorant about anything. He knows. He knows. I was talking to someone recently about how it is for the child of God. There is temptation that is at hand in the world, and that can come from mankind, that can come from Satan. He is the tempter. But then understand that God does try His children. He tries us. He looks to prove us. And we need to know the leadership of the Lord and know what the Lord has given for us to do, to follow, to rest in. And hang on to that and look to Him and rest in Him no matter how the tribulation, the trial, the temptation would come about. We need to know from our Lord what he would have us to do. Endure afflictions, Timothy. Do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist, one that carries forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A preacher of the gospel. By my experience and those that have been in my life and the experience that I have and the way that the Lord has helped me and it's not because of me, it's just because of our good Lord. But he's made it apparent that the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that my ministry needs to be saturated with before you and others that we meet, and that the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the number one thing that our church is given to do. That's the first point that's mentioned. I can't help but think of an occasion, and some of these brethren you may know, and it doesn't matter who they are. But one brother was going to a conference, and he was impressed of the Lord to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another fella that was there, at the brother A, if you will, preaching at that conference the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll say B, the man B, said, "Why would you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ at a conference?" I think of another that we know of. And these are dear people, okay? So it's not a thing of running them down. It's just to put this in right context, a right application to you and me. One man said, about his pastor, "He's always preaching the gospel to us. Always preaching the gospel to us." You know what happened to that man? The Lord saved him in his old age. That's what our ministry is about. Much of it is the preaching and the knowing and the rehearsing of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to every person. Well, has the gospel gotten stale? I know it's so, brothers and sisters. I've seen it in my own life and the experiences that I've had and known about them otherwise, were churches that claim to be the Lord's, and the gospel hasn't been preached in those churches or referenced or mentioned about in weeks or months. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I say that not in a condemning way. The Lord is each one's judge. But I tell you what, I'm thankful for the conviction of the Lord that we must preach the gospel, and that the Lord has given that and given understanding that I, your pastor, need to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what people need. Folks that are not saved need the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ over and over and over again. Like I mentioned to you this morning, there's such a natural carnal fog with folks that is heralded forth and they just don't hear it. They just don't see it. And that's what the Lord tells us in regards to the parable of the soils. Is in that one case of that hard-packed road, he said, the seed gets gobbled up by the birds. He said, that's typical of Satan coming along and taking the word of God out of their hearts. That's going on. And so we need to be throwing that seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions that will come. Do the work of an evangelist, a preacher of the gospel. Make full proof of thy ministry. Full proof. Make full proof of thy ministry. This is one of the phrases most likely that go back to Tyndale and the Lord's blessing upon Tyndale and translating the scripture into English. This, if you take a look at that, pretty much all that phrase, make full proof of thy ministry, is about one Greek word. And it's talking about entirely accomplish. You know, as it is with men, people, you and I have things we prefer, and you and I have things that we don't prefer. But in a job, if you're going to do the job, you got to do all the things that have to do with the job. And so a challenge to me, a challenge to the men of God, a challenge to the people of God. Just don't migrate to the things that you like. But make full proof. May the men of God, may the ministers of God make full proof of their entire ministry to entirely accomplish that. That's what it's speaking about. To complete it all. To run the race. To finish. See why I need your prayers? See why we need to pray one for another? We do. Paul begins to speak about himself, and this is not a thing of bragging. This is initially a personal letter from Paul, Brother Paul, to Brother Timothy, and he's speaking to him, as we've seen, as a son. He says, make full proof of your ministry. Watch and be sober in all things. Endure those afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, the preacher of the gospel, because I am now ready to be offered. Paul knows that it's coming to the end of his life. And the wording here is interesting, how he is saying this, how it comes to us in English. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Along the line of what he said there at the end of verse number 5, make full proof of thy ministry to entirely accomplish. We give this example, and Brother Moses sinned against the Lord. He struck the rock when he was to speak to the rock. The rock there in the wilderness that second time, both times, was typical of Christ. It's showing that Christ, he suffered once. And the Lord was very particular about striking the rock at the first time and then speaking to the rock the second time. It seems like, to you and I, it could seem like a light thing. It was a serious thing. Why? Because God said it. Consider about that. God said it. God told Adam, don't eat of the tree. And he meant it. And so God's word stands. And it's not for us to meddle with, but rather to receive and obey. Brother Moses disobeyed the Lord. He petitioned the Lord that the Lord would let him go into the promised land, because that was going to be the punishment of Brother Moses, is that he would not enter. He would not lead the people into the promised land. The Lord said that his ministry was finished. And his ministry is wrapped up by the book of Deuteronomy, when he preaches to the people two or three messages that are contained there in the book of Deuteronomy. And so the picture that we see here is that Paul's saying, I'm done. What the Lord has given me to do is accomplished. It's nearly accomplished. And the brother was blessed. He was diligent. He was zealous to pursue, blessed of the Lord, to entirely accomplish his ministry. And the dying, the taking, the martyrdom of his physical body was that final pouring out of his physical life for the sake of the Lord. Lord Jesus says to us in the Gospels, if you want to find your life, you lose it for the sake of Christ in the Gospels. You want to lose your life, you hoard it up for you, and you save it up for you, and you use it and mete it out diligently for yourself and your own. You'll lose your life. But you want to find your life, you want to save your life, you use it for the Lord Jesus and for the sake of the Gospels. And he says, indeed, you will find it. And so we have a challenge here. And the thing is, it doesn't matter about what anybody else has done. It doesn't matter where Brother so-and-so or Brother or Sister so-and-so and whatever folks that we know, whether they were faithful to the end or they let up at the end and just backed away. It doesn't matter. What matters is what's going to be the case with you and me. What's going to be the case with me? You know, I pray and by the Lord's help, in your prayers unto him for me, and just speaking about ministers, I want my life to be used up for the sake of the Lord to the end. Not to get down near the end and pull back. I want that for you too, and whatever it is that the Lord's called you into. That's what Paul's saying here about himself. I'm ready to be offered. It's like he's giving the indication of a drink offering. It's an Old Testament reference, we understand. This word offered is talked about to be poured out, to be devoted, to be sacrificed. Not that we make a sacrifice in the sense of the sacrifices like are in the Old Testament given unto the Jews, but in Romans chapter 12, we are admonished and commanded and begged by the apostles that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice all the way to the end. And that's what he's saying has come for him. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure from this world is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course, the race set before him. I have kept the faith, the only faith that makes a difference, and that is that faith in Jesus Christ. To know that we're called by him and to be used by him and to submit to him in every way. Paul's not bragging about himself. I think this is just a note to Brother Timothy as an encouragement, as an admonition for him. Timothy, you run your course too. You can only run it for you. For all of us, from young to old, how are we running the race that is set before us? You may be very young. Brother Jim, I don't even know what my race is. I tell you what. Your race is at this time is to honor your Lord Jesus with your life. Not the way of the world, not what the world is screaming at you, but to what the Lord says unto us. I'm ready to be poured out, he says. I'm ready to be sacrificed at the very last breath. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, because of that, this is a hope. And understand, you know, we're fearful of bragging. You know, when we talk about, we've got this trepidation about talking about rewards. You know, and the thing is that we've got to understand that the Lord has told us that rewards are at hand. Rewards are at hand to be had and to be won or to be gained or to be lost. And all that's found in faithfulness. And so it's kind of like when you're talking about pride. You know, pride is that touchy subject that if you talk about pride too much, we might think that we're found caught up in pride. You know, so pride is a prickly subject. So are rewards and crowns. But you know, it's in the scripture. And Paul's not bragging. It's not bragging. I think he's coming to Timothy from the standpoint of thankfulness, but it is a fact. He's a sinner, a saved by the grace of God, but he has been obedient to the Lord. Did Paul have failures? Sure he did. You know how we know he did? He's a man. Did he have bad attitudes at times? Sure. He tells us that in what, Romans chapter 7, that he had problems with his old man. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Because of that, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Listen to what he says. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. When you think about the Lord Jesus coming, are you ready for that? I talked to a man this past week that asked me, he said, is Jesus coming back in 2018? I said, well, he certainly could. He certainly could. And that man was excited about the prospect of the Lord Jesus coming back. Are you and I excited about that as His children, about the Lord Jesus coming back? Do you want to see the Lord Jesus face to face? Do you want to go ahead and be with Him? Brother Jim, I've got stuff I need to do here. I tell you what, watch out. Yes, we may have plans. Yes, we want to see our children, grandchildren, those related, those we know of, saved. But again, remember, as we saw in the book of Colossians this morning, Christ is preeminent. And for Him to accomplish what the Father has given Him to do, and for Him to come back for the next step of what the Lord has given Him to do, is what we need to desire first and foremost. And all those other things that we have while we live and while we have the day in which we are, pursue and do those things that we have before us for the honor and glory of God. For those that we long and desire that the Lord would save them, we need to pray that the Lord would and be a good witness to them that He would. But I tell you what, we need to long for the coming of our Lord Jesus. Yeah, even this moment, even now. He says, I've got a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness is laid up for me. And the Lord is in charge of that, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And He'll not only give it to me, but unto all them also that love His appearing. How does Brother Paul know about these crowns, this crown of righteousness? How does he know that? Well, you remember in some of the epistles that he's written, he talks about a man. He says, whether he knew him in the body or out of the body, he doesn't know. But a man caught up to the third heaven, you know who's there? Our Lord Jesus, sitting on the right hand of the Father. All those wonderful things that are described in the Scriptures that the Lord tells us and gives us a glimpse into that throne room of God that is there, all those different pieces and parts and the things that they signify, they're true. They're there for real. We see that in the Scriptures. Was it that our brother was blessed of the Lord to see the saints that are there in glory? I don't know. But he did have visions of the Lord that the Lord imparted upon him, gave unto him, that he might be this apostle unto the Gentiles. It was all part of his preparation, his training, his teaching, the blessing of God upon him. Did he see the saints? Did he see the crowns that they wore? I don't know. But he knows that it is the case. And not only for himself, but for those that love his appearing. In 1 Corinthians 9, our brother's speaking to the church at Corinth about the race to be run. And we all have things that we like and stuff that we like and enjoy. Different people like different things. You know, my hang up is tools. I like tools. Never met a tool Harley that I didn't like. Except for maybe one of them rotor rooter things you run down the drain. I don't really care about that. But you know what? One of those things, you wish you didn't have it when you don't need it, but when you need it, you're glad you got it. All right. We all got stuff that we like, hobbies, interests, different things and that. But in 1 Corinthians 9, our brother speaks here about the race and that we run and the prize. Take a look here in 1 Corinthians 9:25. He talks about becoming the people that he engages in by his experience in that and the direction he comes at them, he becomes like them. Not disobedient, not wicked. Verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is self-controlled, temperate in all things. Got to keep focused. Got to remember the commission from the Lord, the directive from the Lord, the orders, the marching orders from the Lord. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a garland. But we an incorruptible. the crowns, and that study of crowns is a good study in the scriptures. It's a blessed study. There's other crowns besides this crown of righteousness that the Lord mentions, or the brother mentions in 2 Timothy. But you know, this crown will never fade. It'll never need polishing. Did you ever think, have we ever thought about who made this crown? God Almighty. It's fashioned by the Lord and jeweled up the way that He's pleased. And you know what? He delights greatly in saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because see, the Lord really acts on, it's more blessed to give than receive. You know, He's worthy of everything, all of our praise and glory and honor. But you know what? He gives and gives and gives and gives. An incorruptible crown. It'll never fade. We'll do with it. The elders are there casting down their crowns before the Lord, seemingly repeatedly. And you know what we'll do with our crown? Whatever's right for us to do with our crown, whether it be to wear it or to cast it down at our Lord's feet, we'll do with it whatever is right to do with it. He says that this crown of righteousness is promised to those by the Lord. He has in store for those that love His appearing. You think about Brother John in Revelation 22, there at the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22, verse number 20, there in the latter part of that verse, "And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly," the words of our Lord Jesus, amen. Seemingly that's what John adds to it. He said, yes. And John says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." You and I have never seen the Lord Jesus face to face, but we have seen Him by the eyes of faith. We don't know what He looks like, but we know that He's so. He is our Savior. We know whom we have believed. And we long to see Him face to face, don't we? We have faith now in Him, and that's right for the time and where the way that it is, and that's the design. And praise God for faith in our Lord Jesus. Our faith needs to be strengthened. It needs to be added to in that. But I tell you what, it'll be great and wonderful to trade in faith for sight, won't it? It'll come at its time. You ever think about John? Ever think about the apostles? The disciples in the day of the Lord's ministry? For that 3 years that He started His ministry and He called them to follow Him. John writes that we've touched Him, the one that is full of grace and truth. Jesus met every need that they had, every question, every quandary that they had. Jesus just had the answer, the direction, the taking care of the problems while they walked with Him. He goes to Calvary and they're confused and they don't understand. He raises from the dead and appears to them and is with them there between the Feast of Unleavened Bread and into the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Pentecost. He's there with them for 40 days before Pentecost, resurrected. So they're there with the Lord while He ministered. They're there with the Lord after His resurrection. And then He goes on to glory. You ever think about that? They saw Him and they had Him. And then He was gone. Well, we know that He wasn't really gone, but He was gone bodily, wasn't He? John declares, "Even so come, Lord Jesus. I like it now, and it's a blessing now." John saw Him there on the Isle of Patmos. It was the Lord revealed Himself. He's seeing His same Lord that called him and his brother in His glory and His majesty and His white hot radiance and power. It says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." I like it now. I like it the way it is now. And I'm thankful for you to show me yourself again. But I tell you what, I want it all the time. You understand what I'm saying? We've never seen him physically. John did. John experienced him physically. And then he was taken from him. In the order and the purpose of God. And then revealed to him again at Patmos. And then John lived the rest of his time. And he says, come on. Come on back, Lord Jesus. You love his appearing? You know what? It can be so that the thought of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ would bring great fear. Some would think that it's bold for us to think that it would be right and good. People that claim to be the children of God have a fear about Jesus coming back. Why is that? Why is it that there would be a fear of Jesus coming back for the saved? I tell you what, the thing to do is take that subject and go to the Lord Jesus with it and talk to him about it. Is there disobedience? Is there a lack of knowledge? Is there a cleaving and holding on to the things of this world rather than receiving the good word of God and what he's given us? Again, take the desires. Take the things, the important things. Again, the salvation of our children, grandchildren, families, the membership of the church, and those we know otherwise and extended. We do want them to be saved, but I tell you what, putting on the brakes for Jesus' return is no way to go about it. We need to desire his return, even today. It's in the Lord's hands. He said, this crown of righteousness is laid up. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And not only to me, but unto all them that also love that also, them also that love his appearing. And then Brother Paul goes into this sign off in the book. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, is departed unto Thessalonica, there in Greece. Crescens to Galatia, which is in central to northern Asia Minor, and Titus to Dalmatia. Lord willing, we're going to read the epistle and take a look at the epistle that Brother Paul writes to Brother Titus and understand. I think we can take this one of two ways. There's two ways in regards. Demas had forsaken him. That is clear. We see that Demas is with Brother Paul as he writes the epistle to Philemon. You can see that in Philemon 24. But then when he goes on and lists here about Crescens to Galatia, it's not necessarily, I don't believe, an inclusion that he has forsaken Paul, but has had to go and meet whatever the thing at hand. It could be that he could have forsaken him. It could be that he's off doing the ministry that he needs to do. Titus to Dalmatia, which is over there on the northwest Greece, to the west of Macedonia. And so Demas has forsaken him. That is clear. These others necessarily haven't forsaken him, but have gone on. They've had a necessity to go on, or they have forsaken the apostle. We just don't know. I don't believe that would be the case about Brother Titus. Only Luke is with me. Talking about a man greatly used of the Lord. A man greatly used to the Lord, but in the background too. You know, and that's just the way it is. That's typical of the Lord. Luke is used of the Lord in a great way. The Gospel of Luke we have written by that brother. It's part of the scripture. A very important book that we have, all of it important, but a very important book that we have is the book of Acts. Written by Brother Luke. Luke is still with the apostle there at Rome. He's a physician, a doctor. And he's beloved indeed. We don't know exactly when Brother Luke was saved. But we do have something here in the book of Acts that we're going to take a look at here this afternoon, and then we'll close. In Acts chapter 16, of course, Brother Luke is writing this book, writing this account, and we know inspired by the Lord. Luke's not an apostle. We don't even know Luke to be any kind of minister. We do know he's a physician, and we do know that he accompanied the Apostle Paul, and if we understand about the Apostle Paul, the things that he went through, he very well may have had in the latter part of life an ongoing medical need that the Lord used Brother Luke to fill. In Acts chapter 16, we see here in the second missionary journey, Barnabas has taken John Mark and gone on to Cyprus, and Paul and Silas, Paul has chosen Silas to go with him. And they're going back there into those places of Asia Minor. We've touched about that regarding Brother Timothy. And I want you to read something here in verse number 6 of Acts 16. Let's read. Now when they had gone throughout Pergia, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, to the northeast, it seems that they wanted to go. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. That's that northeast, to the northeast from the western part of Asia Minor. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, which is to the west. They went on, rather than going to the northeast, being over at Ephesus in the western part. This is the reason we need a map. Now, over in the western part where Ephesus is, Paul's idea evidently was, and thinking was, to go back to the northeast. The Lord said no. The Holy Spirit just would not allow that to be worked out. Peace, ability, provision, whatever was needed. It was just the Lord wasn't leading in it. So instead they go to the northwest to Troas, by Mysia and to Troas. Now it says down to Troas, but it's actually north of Ephesus. Do you see that in verse number 6? They. Verse 7, they. Middle of verse 7, they. End of verse 7, them. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, verse 8, verse 9, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. The Macedonian call. We sing about it. It was a vision of the Lord that the Lord gave to lead Brother Paul in what he should do. Listen. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we. So Brother Luke has been riding all along, they. The Lord led them this way. The Lord led them that way. They were not able to. But evidently at this location, this is where Brother Luke joins them. And now Brother Luke is saying, we. We. The Lord has called our brother to this and called us to this. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us, not them, but us, for to preach the gospel unto them. Don't know how Luke heard the gospel and was saved. Don't know where he's from. Don't really even know if he's a Jew or not. I'd like to know more about him. But we know that he's there with the apostle. We know that he was certainly blessed of that in the apostle's ministry. He was used of the Lord to be a minister and evidently even a doctor to the apostle. And you know what? He claimed the calling and the place that the Lord had for him, just like you and I need to, just like each and every one of us need to. Not everyone will be a teacher of a class. Not everyone will be a deacon. Not everyone will be a preacher or a pastor. Not everyone will necessarily be a school teacher, a Sunday school teacher or a VBS teacher. But you know what? We've all got a calling. We've all got a place to fill in this body. We've all got nourishment that we need to receive and nourishment that we need to give out. And some provoking to love and good works one with another in a right, scriptural, godly way. And you know what? That's what we need to find. And that's what we need to do. All of us. We'll close here for now. And Lord willing, next time we'll wrap up this book. We'll see some things about some other brethren and brother and sister here that's interesting. And then from there, Lord willing, we'll move on to Titus and take a look at some things there. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life, we saw this morning. And there's no future without him. And salvation is simple because it's all in the Lord. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him and his gospel, for the rescue and salvation of your soul. We're not talking about electric shock. Not talking about fireworks and bright lights. What the Lord says and commands is just faith, repentance, and faith in him. That's it.